You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Well, this is Glenda Geek, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning Daily podcast for the last 15 years now. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions, learn from webinars, share your thoughts, ask questions, and connect with your community. We host a virtual event or share educational content every Monday via Retail Roundup Facebook group. If you're not a member, look for Retail Roundup on Facebook and ask to join. Today's topic is one that small businesses don't think about very often, but work with every day. And that is dealing with employees with your HR hat on. We are going to discuss the best HR practices and strategies to help you find and keep good employees no matter the size of your store or business. And today we welcome fellow horse person Jessica Sackett. She has her professional in human resources certification, has helped many small businesses start and implement HR departments. And this is audio only today. We're having a little trouble with the video. So obviously you're listening on the podcast. There is not a video version of this to go find on the Facebook page. Jessica, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Glenn, for having me. I appreciate it.
So where are you from? Where are you living?
I'm in central Washington. I'm in Kashmir.
Oh, okay. And you, I know you listen to the show, so you're a horse person, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. What kind of horses do you ride?
I have two mares. One is a retired 25-year-old paint mare, and the other one is an 8-year-old grade quarter horse mare.
Oh, cool. All right. Very good. Well, to start, normally when I do these, I know a little bit about the topic, haven't owned many businesses, but the one thing I always sucked at was HR stuff. So I tried to ignore it, which I'm sure most small businesses do at times. So briefly explain what human resources, what it encompasses, and especially keeping in mind that most people listening are small businesses whose resources might be limited.
Right. That's true. And that happens a lot. And like you, a lot of businesses tend to neglect it or try to push it aside. I don't feel like anybody ever goes to school and wants to be HR when they grow up. So,
did you?
No. No. And yet here I am. So that's okay. So human resources is all about people, really. We support the business, but our main goal is to help the employees and our coworkers, basically. Retaining good employees, recruiting new ones. It's all about that. Benefits, of course. Sometimes it goes even broader, payroll, all that kind of stuff. So it's an important function, and it also is about maintaining legal compliance too, which is something that you want to do.
And I'm assuming with small businesses, the legal side of it is where they can get in trouble not paying attention to HR.
Any size business, yes.
Yeah, true, right.
But,
yeah.
Especially small ones, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, with the small businesses, you know, especially you got your local tech shops and even your small manufacturing companies, they probably have 10 employees and less, and the boss is doing it all.
Yes, that tends to be the case.
And I know you've run into that situation too and help create departments. At what point do bosses realize I need help with this? Is there kind of a magic number with number of employees where you should be looking at hiring somebody?
Well, I would say earlier if possible, but probably around 10 to 15 employees is when I would start to maybe look into getting someone who has a HR specialty or can focus more on HR. My current company, they were about 30 employees currently, and I feel like I'm behind the eight ball now, and there's just a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. So earlier is better if possible.
I'm going out of order of my questions here because it just makes sense. Is there companies out there that can help small businesses with HR kind of as a consultant, like on a consulting basis?
Well, yes. I was actually going to mention her later. There's a gal. I bet there are companies that actually have HR consultants. I haven't worked with any of those, but I do have a gal that she lives in Texas, and she's got now I have to look at my notes here. HRhelpdesk.com. Her name is Lisa. Huh. And I think
Yeah, go ahead.
She's basically just runs her whole company, and she does all sorts of resources for people having HR issues, questions, concerns. She actually has a policy handbook. So you can just fill in the blanks on the different questions that it asks you. It's been a huge resource for me. She actually had a study group, which helped me get my certification. So there are places like that. I would, if you're needing some help, the membership to get in to chat with her is not expensive, in my opinion. It's definitely worth it. So there's that kind of resource, which is the one that I've been using, and I highly recommend it because I even emailed her before this podcast saying, hey, guess what? I want to give you a shout out. What's the best way to do that? And she responded within an hour. She's a very good resource that way. And I can't recommend Lisa enough from Helpdesk Suite.
Send me the link and I'll put it in the show notes for today.
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes for people to find it there. Well, you know, that brings up something we talked in one of our last sessions about the importance of SOP, standing operating procedures. And I imagine dealing with HR issues, this is very important.
Oh, yes, for sure. I have one. I created at least two or three, and I brought them with me from my last job because they work so well for me. It's basically just checklists and things that making sure that you're doing things consistently. So like new hire checklist, just making sure you're having all the required forms, the W-4, the I-9, any just things that you can check off as you go through your processes makes a huge difference and definitely can keep you out of some legal trouble there too. Like with here's one that I've noticed with small businesses, interviews, and everybody interviews differently. So that's to be expected. But a lot of people are asking questions that they shouldn't be asking. Really, they should be asking candidates all the same questions. And then if they end up talking on a rabbit trail or somewhere else down the line, it's okay to change the conversation. But the possibilities are endless when it comes to SOPs, and I strongly recommend those too.
Yeah, so I assume your SOPs for new hires, actually, when somebody leaves, you have an SOP checklist of what to do when somebody leaves. Are there any others that you would recommend?
Any of your... So I was trying to... I listened to your podcast on SOPs the other day, and he had some good points. Basically, your main functions that... Just you want to make it easy. So if you go on vacation or if you go sick, if you end up being sick, somebody can do your role for you. Or if you have someone else who's doing a important function of the job, don't make them feel bad for having to take some time off. Have them write up an SOP, the steps of doing their specific role that they work on that maybe not everybody else knows how to do. Just the main ones, start with those, and then you can always edit those and build more. Build a template and then just edit them for each different thing that you're working on, and it saves you a lot of time.
And one of the things he said when we did the SOP segment was just keep it simple. Just it's checklists, yep. Basically.
Yes.
Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it.
I agree. Nobody's going to use them if it's too long.
Including yourself. I mean, as the business owner, you know, you need things to be quick and easy. And having the checklist really does help you be more efficient. It's a pain to set them up. And that's the part we always put off. But once they're set up, then it's so easy to refer back to them.
Well, find your person who likes to make the lists. There's always somebody in your group that loves having detailed lists and crossing them off, and make that person your SOP person.
And that's exactly why I hired my coworker, Ashley, because she makes the lists and I do not. So, I mean, obviously small business owners are wearing many hats. What are some of the key functions that are often overlooked by small business owners who are acting as the HR department?
Oh,
you probably see it in your current job now, actually.
I see them every day. So as an HR person, I've done a ton of interviews. I have job offer letters, job postings, that kind of stuff. It seems not difficult to me because I do it all the time. But then it was so unorthodox the way that I got recruited for my current role. Like every step of it has made me so nervous because there was no job posting. There was no set interview questions. There was no offer letter. Like I had nothing coming into my job. And I was thinking, I hope I have a job. So I'm turning in my notice. But I had nothing in writing. And I had text message and stuff to cover my butt. But it's not the same as having an offer letter. I don't have a job description. Working on that for everybody. And that would be just... Those are a couple. Some things that I've noticed people tend to avoid are performance conversations or reviews, things like that. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but employees really love getting feedback and they love to give back feedbacks. And I think people tend to avoid doing that because they don't want to have the hard conversations. And it doesn't have to be hard. Just do it. Maybe put on your calendar once a quarter and sit down with somebody and do a one-on-one with your employees and just see how things are going.
How often do you recommend? Do you recommend quarterly, semi-annually? How do you?
Quarterly is great. If nothing else, just to have a one-on-one conversation and just see how things are going. Like sometimes they put on a front and you don't know how an employee is actually doing. So it's good to just take a few minutes and sit down, maybe have them come in a few minutes early one day and just, you know, make time for that conversation.
So what are the consequences of kind of doing your head in the sand and not going to deal with that whole HR thing? I just hope the employees do their job. What are the consequences of that?
A lot of times it leads to unclear expectations or what confusion, like what the employees think is expected. And then what your expectations are may not always line up to be the same. And it can build up some resentment with your employees. They could leave because it's just not clear to them. Or obviously legal concerns, that's a big one. So those would be the main concerns, I would say. And the morale, it definitely kills the morale sometimes when you don't do some of the legal things. Like if you're not paying people correctly, you're, I don't know, not being consistent with your practices.
Well, that includes document, and then of course documenting the employees if they do something wrong, or you know, if you're giving them a warning or whatever, all of that should be documented as well. And a lot of times is not, and then when you go to fire them, you're in trouble. You know, then when the trouble starts,
right?
Yeah,
because then there was nothing leading up to the termination saying that there is any. They thought they were doing their job perfectly, and that's all that they heard. Well, yep.
Yeah. So obviously when you're, let's say we're smaller than 15 people, which I would venture to guess most tax shops in the country are, is it just a matter of taking the HR stuff and putting it on your calendar and taking time to get it done? Is there software to help companies do this?
There are software companies. I haven't used a lot of those either, but I've heard that they exist. I did research a couple. Let's see. I've heard that Gusto Mineral or Bamboo HR. I actually have looked at Bamboo HR previously and they had some good policies that I've used. So apparently those are a couple that could be helpful for people.
Gusto and Bamboo HR?
Yes, and Mineral.
Mineral, okay.
Are the ones that I found when I searched.
All right, I'll put those in the show notes as well for people. You know, and again, each state is different as far as legalities are concerned when it comes to employees. How do you find that information?
It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, how do you come, you know, like Florida's different than California, different than Oregon, you know?
Washington and California are the most protective of the employees, which is great, but it's really hard for employers to make sure they have all the ducks in a row and they're doing things correctly. One example is there's so many examples where this state regulations are different across the borders. At my previous job, that we were attempting to recruit a safety manager, and I was reporting to somebody in Ohio, and she was adamant that I needed to ask what the person's salary was at their job that they were presently holding at the time, and what the including all the bonuses and everything. And I was like, I cannot ask.
I was going to say, I don't think that's allowed almost anywhere, is it?
No, it is apparently in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Or it was then. It was a couple of years ago now. But anyway, so I had to actually Washington has a labor and industries website where you can find a lot of these specific laws that for the state. So that's where I actually had to cite the SAW, S-A-W legal, and send her the link. Like, I cannot ask her that here.
Yeah. And, you know, I think where this is what I've seen, too. You have a small company, but there's a manager. There's the boss, right, who owns the company. And then there's a manager who maybe does the hiring. But the manager didn't know those rules when doing the interviewing. And they were the first ones to do the interviewing. And that got him in trouble. You know, so, you know, training your managers in a small company what to ask and what not to ask in an interview is important, too.
It is very important. So back to Lisa at help desks. She emails out newsletters every week. She will send out updates of things that she's uncovered state, like different state specific laws and what the impact is on the employers. You can also go into her, if you have access to her website, you can look up things like state regulations by state, and she has them listed out that way. That's super helpful. But I would just recommend going to your local, if you're not wanting to buy the subscription to her website, your local. So Washington, Illinois is the one that I would, there's got to be one for every state, I assume. So check with them. They're your place to go. Make a friend there. You don't want to piss those guys off.
Right. And I assume Lisa would be worth the money just for making it easy on time, researching all this stuff.
She's been my hero.
And this is not a paid commercial for
no.
Lisa. So, you know, we talked about performance a little bit, and keeping records is very important there. So when you do those meetings with your employees, keep detailed records on what you discussed and the performance, because that could be help you a lot later if there's a problem.
That's true. Just things that you talked about. You can also, another SOP would be great for your training. Excuse me. So if you have somebody that is underperforming or not meeting the expectations that you have for the role that they're doing, just have an SOP for what the job should be. And then, you know, walk your employee through it, have them check it off, sign and date it at the bottom. And then if it becomes an issue, that little piece of paper is going to save you in the long run, because you have documentation that you've gone over this conversation. You both signed it. You both reviewed it, dated it. It's pretty simple. It doesn't take a lot of time, especially once you already have the template and make it job specific.
So what piece of advice would you give a small business owner who's just starting to recognize the importance of HR? You know, they're feeling a little overwhelmed, and, you know, what's next then? Is it hiring somebody? And, you know, I assume HR people don't come cheap either. So, you know, you have that situation. You know, it's always been in business, at least the ones I've owned. You need a person before you can afford them, right? You always are at that point where you're going, I know I need this person. I know I can't afford them, but I know if I hire them, I'll make more money. And it's just so tough.
It is very tough. So I'll tell you, I'll go back farther into my past, because when I started my role, I think it's almost been 10 years now, I started fresh into HR and I didn't know anything. And I knew right off the bat that I was in way over my head. And luckily it was a small company and they had pretty good culture there, and I didn't have a lot of issues to begin with. But I just started doing seminars, and this is another not paid advertisement, Fred Pryor seminars. So they have, they have little specials during the year. It's like $250 for the whole year. You get unlimited trainings, like on-demand trainings, or they do webinars anywhere from like 2 to 8 to 2 day webinars. And they'll do specific topics for very specific things. So you can do your own HR webinar, HR basics, HR, anyone newly signed with HR responsibilities, that kind of a thing. And those would be perfect. I've done those in the past. You can do them again, like if you want to take them over. And they have different instructors each time, and they're all certified instructors.
And what was the name of the company again?
Fred Pryor.
Fred Pryor, okay.
Yeah, they're another resource. The resource that they have, their trainings and everything, unlimited. Like they have, if you're really bad at Excel, you could take courses on Excel, how to do Excel. And then they go up through the levels too. Like you could do intermediate Excel, advanced Excel. There's accounting. There's so many different business related topics in there. So that's where I got my self started. It was a little bit of investment, $250 for the year, but it's once you're in it and you're using it, there's unlimited possibilities of where you can go in that business.
Well, and, you know, this is one of the most important areas, right, of your business, is dealing with your employees. And it's also the most frustrating and the most time-consuming. It's all of those things. So having any tools you can to manage it more efficiently is good.
Yes.
And then we haven't even talked about benefits packages. HR gets involved in that as well.
That's true.
I mean, there's a minefield right there. And, you know, where that becomes important, obviously you're doing benefit packages for the benefits of your employees, but the HR person's responsibility is to also make sure it doesn't bankrupt the company. So they're trying to, you know, do that fine balance at the top of a mountain to keep it so it's affordable yet effective. It's a tough one, the benefits side.
Yes, it's a constant battle. And it's never fun for HR, by the way.
No, I imagine you're always battling management, you know, and employees. You're right in the middle of that too, and then you're also battling the benefits company, right? So it's always trying to get the best deal for the lowest amount of money. That's what it comes down to.
Yep, and then keep your employees happy at the same time.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that falls on HR as well. And I assume, you know, that's something you're looking at every year and is probably very time consuming to spend the time to do the research and all of that.
It can be for sure. You can hire a broker, insurance broker, and that can help a lot too, but it's still a daunting task.
But then you're the one responsible ultimately.
Uh-huh.
As a HR person for benefits. And I realize a lot of small companies may not even have benefits, right? Or I'm sure they have some kind of benefits, but not extensive packages necessarily.
Right. Yep.
So what do you want to leave people with, the small business owner with? What thought do you want to leave them with?
Well, you guys are all awesome and we need you for sure, but definitely get HR resource and it will be worth its weight in gold. Fred Pryor seminars, maybe you don't have time, but you may have employees. You want to, hey, I need to teach you how to be better at customer service. Hey, look, here's a 2-hour seminar that you can watch. Please take this. You can have your other employees use it too, even if it's under your own name. Or somebody like Lisa at Help Desk. She's been invaluable. And I think it was a one-time payment that I made. And you've been using her resources for probably 6 or 7 years now. And it's been some big legal concerns that have come up that she's helped us with. And once you bounce something off of somebody like that, and they just have such a knowledgeable, unbiased answer, they're not involved, they just see things from a higher level, it just makes you feel better to have that sort of support. So that's what I would recommend.
All right,
find a resource like that and try to make sure that you have some legal compliance.
I'll put links to all of this in the show notes for today's episode right there in your podcast player. You can find those. Well, I certainly appreciate you joining us. Thank you, Jessica, for doing this. HR, again, something that we deal with every day, and most of us that own small businesses wanted to not deal with at all. So it's, but it's so important.
It is very important. Hopefully I didn't scare you too much.
Thank you for joining us today on the WESA Retail Roundup. If you missed part of this, it will be available. Well, it's on the podcast player. Will probably not be on YouTube because of our issues with the video. The next roundup will be next Monday. That's June the 9th. Be sure to sign up and join us for the Retail Roundup. Go to the Retail Roundup Facebook page on Facebook. Just search Retail Roundup and you'll find it there. And also, of course, you can find all the information about the trade show, which is coming up in August, at wesatradeshow.com. I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, planning on going to Dallas for that this time. I think this will be my 39th WESA Trade Show. So we hope to, if I don't get to meet you there, just keep on listening here every Monday as we try and help you run your small business. Take care, everybody.